everyone. So welcome back to another episode of the Hello Spring podcast. I'm your host, Spring Sims, or Steven, whichever one works with you. I respond to both. But for today, I'm going to be doing a solo episode for the first time in a while, because I think that I want to do a continuation of what I said in episode 2 of finding the balance in it all. But for today, I'm going to talk about embracing the lessons learned from my failures to make me stronger. Because in episode 2, I kind of talked about how I found the balance in it all of juggling school, work, my 4 or 5 jobs that I had going on, my high school career, my college career, YouTube, Twitch, traveling, mental health, everything. And I didn't really talk about the failures in all of those scenarios of where it kind of led me up today. And I think it's very important to talk about the failures, because not a lot of people really talk about how they're failing in life or what their failures were, because ultimately people want to hear the good things, the exciting things about a person's life, whether they achieved an awesome goal, where they got a Nobel Peace Prize or a podcasting award, or got on the Forbes 30 under 30 list. And I think it's definitely very important to talk about the failures in your life and how those failures helped you to get to where you are today. Because personally, it's very important. And I do hope that you all will enjoy today's episode as much as I will, because personally, I have a lot of things that I do want to talk about and be able to share with you all to get another side of me. And I'm just pumped, because I want to say thank you all so much for the kindness and honesty and the support that you have shown so far for this podcast, because it's more like a passion project for me, where I'm just kind of hopping into it to see what it's like and just go with the flow. And honestly, I'm having the most fun being able to talk about mental health, The Sims, video games, social media, talk with my friends who are content creators and other people. And it just feels good to know that we all can relate on some similar level. So before we do all that, I hopefully will get into some more juicy content later in this episode, but also in the future episodes of the podcast. So stay tuned. Make sure you follow me on social media. All the things will be in the show notes below, so you can check them out. But the good thing about this is that this podcast is going to be not for everyone, but for some people, and that's okay. And so the first thing I want to talk about is that no one can take away how you're feeling, because personally, your feelings are validated. No matter what you're feeling, no one can take that away from you, because you are yourself. Those are your own emotions, your own feelings. And no one can say, oh, you shouldn't be feeling this, you should have been feeling that, because they don't know how you really feel unless you tell them. It comes into play where I'm talking about myself in a way, because I don't really express how I'm feeling to a lot of people, because I have a hard time expressing the emotions and the thoughts that I'm having right now or in that moment. That I'm just like, what? How? Who? Where? And I give them that generic response of, I'm fine. Everything is fine. It's all good. Peachy good. Whatever. We're fine. And to be honest, I don't know if you had those moments as well, but I've had them pretty much every single day of my life ever since entering high school. Because in high school, there was a time where I was juggling yearbook, newscasts, choir, show choir, theater, dance, all these different clubs that I was a part of, but I was also volunteering at the same time, and on top of simultaneously making YouTube videos that no one knew about, because, you know, 2010, YouTube was still like not really new, but it was like new and people didn't really understand it, and technology was still advancing. And if you told people that you make YouTube videos, they would make fun of you to the fullest extent. And that right there is something I did not want to deal with in high school. So I just kind of kept it to myself and told no one. Even though I did have friends within like the YouTube, quote unquote, YouTube community of The Sims, I did know what to do and how to kind of get better at it as time went on. Because I made Sims 2 short film videos pretty much almost every single month, and did collaborations and did these other like cool things that I didn't expect to do. And it grew and it made me happy. But those videos made me very, very sad to make, because I was in high school. High school is all about drama, cliques, clubs, all these different things that you shouldn't really go through in life at all, because people expect you to be in one club or be this certain type of person and in this type of way. and just go with it for the rest of your life. But in reality, you shouldn't be feeling like that. Because growing up, I have always thought that, you know, you had to be a certain person in a certain way to succeed in life, and you'll have no failures. Because I had the mindset of a person that when I entered in high school, I would be the very best that I can, no matter what people say. And no matter how many times I fall, I will just get back up again and try again. But then I also second guess myself and just tell myself, oh, don't do it anymore. You're not good at it. Whatever. But there's a quote that I found through my personality test that I took last week. It's by Jimmy Carter. And it says, it's better to fail while striving for something wonderful, challenging, adventurous, and uncertain than to say, I don't want to try because I may not succeed completely. And to be honest, that right there is so, so informational and so insightful to think about. Like, it's like eye-opening, basically, that we go through life of thinking, oh, we're not good enough. We're not going to do better. We're not going to succeed at all. But we never really tried to see if we were going to succeed and going to try our very best to strive to the things that we want to have in life. And that's like a career path for me, where I'm trying all these different things to see what works best for me and what will work best for me to succeed, basically. And ultimately, none of them did. None of them, like all the clubs and things that I were in high school, didn't really set me up for success. In a way, it did personally and like somewhat professionally, but it wasn't like a career path that I wanted to go into. But on the topic of high school, I think that with high school, it's where you're allowed to experiment and try new things and see what you like, see what you don't like, and go forth in each one. And so hear me out. As I said, I am a theater, choir, dancer kid. I've done them all. I was not the best dancer. I was not the best singer. I wasn't the best, you know, auditioner for theater. For musicals, I wasn't the best. But I did try, and I did fail multiple times. However, choir, let me tell you, choir and show choir, I lived and breathed those two things my entire life of high school and junior high. Lived and breathed music, talent, the arts, everything. Lived and breathed, and I still do. It's absolutely unhealthy, but it's fine. But you see where I'm going? Like, oh, it's fine. I'm fine. I'm still working on the I'm fine moments, but in reality, it's not. But it's like, when you think about it, I had that mindset, choir, show choir, dance, and theater. That's my entire life, my entire career of high school. And when I auditioned for stuff in high school for musicals, I never got a single role because, one, I'm not really that good of an actor, but I do try and see if I can, you know, get somewhere, because I have a hard time speaking and I have ADHD and I have I have a hard time just talking, like actual words and remembering things. And it's very hard, because if you want to become an actor or go into a musical or anything, you got to remember your lines. I'm a person that remembers music more than lines. Speaking lines, no, not for me. But singing lines, oh, sign me up, baby. I'm ready. And to be honest, I've learned that theater wasn't for me. I tried, I failed, didn't succeed, and I moved on because I tried. But even though I did work with, you know, tech and not really understudy, but like I was an extra in some stuff in high school, and it was fun while it lasted. And then here comes show choir. This goes back to eighth grade. And I don't know if I said this in episode 2 or 1, but in eighth grade was around the time I was going to graduate. And this one person that I adore so much, because she has literally helped me all my life throughout high school, basically. And she went to like the choir room in my junior high school. And she was like, I'm auditioning, or like I have open auditions for kids who want to be in show choir, who are going to be in ninth grade as freshmen. And I was like, ooh, this is my chance. I'm going to do it. I'm going to succeed. Granted, wasn't the best dancer, wasn't the best singer, but I did have a high pitched voice, and I feel like I still do. In eighth grade, I was like a soprano, alto, tenor. I was all three parts. Baritone, that would destroy my throat. I could not hit those notes to save my life. But I auditioned and I sang the Phantom of the Opera. Why? It was the only song that I knew I could do at the time. No longer can hit those notes anymore, but I did try back then, and I got in. Like I tried my darn hardest to practice the dance, the song, and also what I was striving to do in show choir. I got in. I was a skinny little twig. I couldn't really lift people. I always dropped people. I tried my best to kind of get to where I am today. And it helped me. I think show choir helped me be the person who I am today because it allowed me to be determined, dedicated, focused, and ultimately a professional. Because in show choir, the show must go on. You have to be a professional, work with others that you may or may not like, and also be civil to other competing show choir groups. Because if you don't win the finals, we don't have time. Like, there were show choir groups. Show choir groups, showchoir.com, that whole thing was just like a hot mess. But that's a whole other thing for another time. And in all that time of high school, I was doing YouTube and I made videos here and there. I struggled finding my place in life of YouTube for about 4 years of YouTube for my first channel before I made the Spring Sims channel. And I think that during that time, it was like experimental phase, like high school, experimental phase. YouTube for the first 4 years, experimental phase. So I had one channel, one career, all experimental of trying new things and seeing where I could go. I did not talk in any of my videos. I didn't do any face cam. I didn't do any of that stuff. And I didn't really know because I was a very shy, introverted person where I didn't know how to speak or how to really express the words that were coming out of my mouth to make them somewhat authentic and relatable, or some type of, I don't know, anything that would come to my mind that would make sense to people that they could understand. And I guess that when I got towards the end of my high school career, I realized that, you know, it's time to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going into a new chapter of my life to see where I'm going to go for the rest of my life and get a degree that I may or may not use and go with it. And ultimately, it worked out okay. And I had my first job when I graduated high school. I entered university right then there of the summer of 2014. And throughout all that, I failed so much in my life because when I entered college, community college to be exact, I always felt like I was somewhat of a failure of going to community college because I was still in that high school mindset where people had the saying, oh, if you go to community college, you're a failure, or like a stereotype, basically. It's like people who stay in the same hometown or there's like the same, you know, general vicinity of their living, their stereotype. It's like you go to school here and you go to community college and then you move back. It's like, that's not what it is. Like, I literally hate stereotypes. I'm going to cancel them all. And I was still in that mindset at the time. And so I think that it kind of it was hard for me to kind of grow out of my comfort shell or grow out of my shell to open up and see new things and try new things. And I was still in that choir mindset and that choir drive that I was feeling. So I did choir for a whole full year in college. I quit that, changed my major because I realized that the music track or music major wasn't for me. And I knew that it wasn't going to be sustainable for me personally because even though I'm a very hard worker, in my mind, I think I am, I can strive to do all these things and do all this stuff. But will I really succeed? Maybe. I tried, but I don't think it would have really helped me to like go where I was going. And I think also at the time, Glee was a thing. And so like when you had Glee and then Show Choir and Choir and then Rachel Berry, like all these like TV shows basically influenced my entire life where I thought, oh, I'll just go, you know, to college, do choir, do all these things and try my darn hardest to be the best of the best, like Rachel Berry. But no, that's a TV show. That's not real. That's not how it works in real life. You can't just do whatever you want as you please. There's steps, there's failures, there's consequences that you have to go through to get to where you're going to succeed. And ultimately, I had an awakening at the second semester of my university career where I realized that choir music is not for me for the rest of my life. So I transferred over to do graphic design. And graphic design was another trial and error process because I failed more than I succeed. I tried and tried and tried and tried, but it didn't work out. I spent all this money and it worked, but it didn't work. And I felt like I was a failure because I wasn't doing the best in my classes. And I was put into classes that I didn't really technically need for my degree. And I thought, I'm never going to use this in my entire life. There's no way I'm going to be using college statistics ever. And I don't know why I'm in it. And I spent the money for nothing, but ultimately I realized that I wouldn't have to take it later in my life because I already had the credits and the class for it. So it was easier said than done. Like I said, I think that we all have to try things in order to know what we are looking for. And I guess that's okay. It's okay to try. It's okay to fail. It's okay to cry. And ultimately, that's what we all do. That's what everyone does. They just try and try and try. But do they really succeed? Sometimes, not all the time. But there is one thing that I did want to say about success and failures as well. But I took this personality quiz last week, and I had the personality type of INFJ-A or -T, both of them. And it was classified as an advocate personality, which is a diplomat. And I'm constantly improving, which is what it said. Quite funny. In the career role of a diplomat, basically, it says, what is success anyway? If your life goals are to earn pots of money, land an impressive job, buy a fancy car, and be better than everyone else, well, you're probably not a diplomat. But it isn't to say that diplomats don't have their own type of ambition. 85% of diplomats say it's important to them to make long-lasting impact outside of their family and close friends. In other words, these personality types want to make a lasting difference in the world, which is very true. Which is no small feat. This might explain why diplomats are second only to analysts in saying that they sometimes set impossibly high standards for themselves. Only 18% diplomats say their career is the most important thing in their life. Perhaps because they have such a lofty view of success, diplomats are the role least likely to consider themselves successful. It's important to note that the great majority of people with these personality types still say they'll be upset if they never become successful. As a result, many people with these types may feel as they're constantly striving towards ideals and expectations that they'll never meet. To address this sense of inadequacy, many diplomats find they must let go of comparisons of other people. 79% of diplomats say they are constantly comparing themselves to others, either often or very often. By releasing their comparisons, diplomats can free themselves to do things on their own in their own time rather than fretting over whether they're successful yet. And to be honest, that all right there is mind-blowing. Like, when I read that myself, when I took the test, I nearly cried because I'm like, why are they attacking me? Why is this a piece of the internet with text attacking me? Because it's so true. I always sometimes compare myself to other people where I used to, because I never thought I would succeed if I did a certain way that wasn't their way. Because with YouTube and social media, there's a mindset of you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do this, you gotta do that to be successful. And that was in the past, where 2010, 2011 of YouTube is where I was still struggling of trying to find my place within the YouTube space as a creator and making content for myself with the Sims. But it was also around the time where people were still gaining traction from other things, whether it was on, I think, Vine or whatever. And then also the fact that the OG YouTubers were gaining traction on a rise very rapidly, where it made it hard for certain people. But then more content creators came onto the platform, and then they started making the same content as them, as the OGs. And it made it hard because everyone was pretty much the same at that point. Like 2010, 2011, 2012, everyone was the same, and things were just so saturated that it was very hard to find a person's individuality of who they are as a person, but also as a content creator, and how they would make content for themselves, but also for their audience. You know what I mean? It's very hard to find a sense of self, and where it was hard that everyone compared each other to everyone, whether they collabed together or not, or they just compared each other, or other people compared that person to another person because they were similar in a way, age-wise or content-wise or personality-wise. And so it was so hard to kind of get out of that bubble. And I think over time, when I did my, like, you know, my experimental phase of YouTube, I realized that that's not the case. I can just be myself. And so I transitioned over into like a new side of content of making LP videos. On my old channel, I made LP videos of like Sims 3 and talking inside of a microphone. And I was very nervous and I was always second guessing myself and editing out my mistakes. And because I didn't really know if people would be into that or people would not like the rambliness of my voice or my voice in general, or they would just not want the content. And ultimately, I'm a very like chill person. And I take things into consideration. I take suggestions. I take all these things and I don't get hurt that easily. And sometimes I've realized over time that the more I did YouTube, the more I realized that I'm not for everyone. I may make content that may not suit for that one particular person, but it may have helped somebody else. And I'm actually kind of glad that it did. And so personally, I just kept on doing it and more and more and more. And people ask me all the time, what's the best way to get started on YouTube? And I always tell them, just do it. Because ultimately, you don't just say that you don't want to try because you may not succeed completely. Just try it. Because ultimately, you might fail and that's okay. If you fail, you can just get back up again and try again. Just try. Because there's no way of immediate success in YouTube or anything in content creation as long as you put in the time, the effort, and the energy and the passion that you have for content creation. You will see success. Because if you are the happiest, that's what success means to me, when you are the happiest. And that's what we kind of explained in the last episode with Ocean Sims, that success doesn't come from the money or the fame or the followers or the subscribers or how many views you get on a video, per video actually, or overall, or if you're verified or not. Success comes from if you are happy with what you're doing in your life, whether it's making content on YouTube, making a podcast, working at a Fortune 500 company, or, you know, as a dentist or as a doctor or whatever it is, as long as you are happy or you think that your job or what you are doing is success to you, then that is success to you. Because no one can take away your true happiness. So personally, I think you gotta do what you gotta do to make you happy, to make you successful in life. And that's me. But that's also actually kind of life, to be honest. When you really think about it, you just gotta take a leap of faith and go forth into your endeavors. I did want to say that with YouTube, when I got into my second wave of life of college, I realized that I can't do everything. There were so many times in my life of making content on YouTube on the Spring Sims channel. I've been using the Spring Sims channel since 2015. So it's been like 6 years, almost 6 years actually, in I think November, I believe. I didn't think about it at the time that I went through waves of my life, whether I was struggling with build content, creative sim content, making face cam videos, LPs, machinimas, clickbait, sims. My editing style, to be honest, my editing style has changed so much over the past 6 years that it's absolutely insane. I look back at my videos thinking, who was I back then? Where did all this confidence come from? Because I think I had this like idea in my head that I had to be a certain type of person, or I had to put on this type of personality to be liked. And that is like not it. Like, I think back then, I wanted to be liked so much that I tried so hard in my videos to be the very best that I can, to make friends in the Sims community, but also with YouTube and making content and succeeding. Because that's all that I thought. That's literally all that I thought back in 2015, 2014. That's all it was. And there's another thing on my personality quiz that I took that relates to this so much of my past life. The need to belong. And is, of course, is for diplomats, and saying for diplomats, authenticity and connection aren't just buzzwords. These concepts, which might seem vague and wishy-washy and for two other types, form the bedrock of diplomats' life. This explains why relationships matter so much to these personality types, and not just any type of relationship, but rather real, meaningful bonds. And when asked about their social life, only 8% of diplomats would like to spend their most of their time alone, which is very true for me because I have a tendency of like shutting down and being alone because I'm an introvert. So that's usually me. But instead, the majority of diplomats express their desire for a partner or a few good friends. These personalities may also worry more about a loneliness than other types, with nearly 2/3 of diplomats saying they worry about being lonely in their old age. 77% of diplomats say they often feel a strong need to belong, which is what I thought I felt like, or is what I felt like in 2014, 2015, and a little bit of 2016, of where I felt like I needed to belong into something because I never felt I belonged in high school. And all my emotions got carried over to my newfound career of YouTube and what I do today, that all the failures, all the things that I felt when I was younger made me stronger because I've realized that my younger self went through stuff that I don't need to feel, and some things were actually kind of random and stupid that I just needed to push away. I had to get away from the life of sadness and toxicity and negativity of my life, that I didn't need that. I needed to have people around me that would spread kindness, love, and positivity in my life to make me stronger, to make themselves stronger, where we all can be successful. And for many diplomats, a central challenge of their lives is to balance their need for authenticity with their need to belong. More than any other personality role, diplomats say they need to belong often motivates them to do things they otherwise wouldn't, which is very true. Like, there are things in my life that I don't do unless other people motivate me to do it, like going after student council or a yearbook or a show choir or auditioning for a TV show or doing all these opportunities, because I don't think, like, still to this day, sometimes I always feel like that I don't deserve half of the things that I have now because I just don't think that I'm good enough at certain things than other people. But that's like a constant mind thing that I gotta work on. This sort of behavior might not bother other types, but it poses a real dilemma for diplomats. Being quote unquote fake can feel literally painful to these types who long to be loved and accepted for who they are, not for their ability to fit in. And that was a huge eye opener because, like, looking back at my past self, I was like, I was fake. Who was I? Like, I asked myself, who was I? Where did all this confidence come from? Like, I don't understand. And I ultimately realized that I was being fake for like 2 years. 2 years of my YouTube career, I was being fake. My relationships with my friends back then were not fake. They were real. But the content that I was making, the personality that I was showing online was fake. And I didn't like that. And I was disgusted with myself because who would watch that? And I realized that my voice has not, well, it has changed, I would say. But like back then, if you look back at my videos, I was talking in a higher register than my normal speaking voice. And I'm like, that's a fake personality. And no one wants that. Like, no one wants fake. People want real, honest, and raw and authentic people to watch, whether it's on YouTube or a podcast or anything. And ultimately, I didn't realize that until like 3 years ago of my life, that I think that sometimes being yourself is more important than being someone else. That's so crazy. Oh my gosh. But for diplomats, it's an important part of self-development in learning to be real, even if they fear that doing so won't make them popular. The irony is that many diplomats' personalities only feel a deep sense of belonging and connection once they learn to approach relationships as their whole true selves. And that is, oh my gosh, it's crazy. I think that I've grown as a person professionally, but also as personally, one in my everyday life and my relationships with my friends and my family. It's like a full circle moment. Like, do you ever have those days in your life where you have a need to belong into something that you're trying so hard to fit in, but ultimately what you need to do is to be yourself and not be somebody else? Because personally, high school is full of, like, my high school is full of drama and craziness that I had to fit in a particular way to be liked. I've realized was doing YouTube, it basically gave me an eye-opening situation of that I'm not for everyone. I don't have to be liked by everyone. I am not who I have to be. I have to be myself. And I realized that for like high school and like two extra years, I was like a people pleaser. I was here to please people. I think that ultimately made me very sad and felt like a failure that I wasn't doing enough in my life of YouTube and life in general, that I was struggling with what type of content that I wanted to make slash AKA not knowing what to do with my life, because I entered a new wave of my life of college. College is a place where you have to literally, well, don't have to, but in my mind, college was a life that this is it. You go to college for 4 years or more years, and that's all you have. You have a degree, and then you get a job. And I'm like, I didn't know where I was going. And I'm kind of glad that I transitioned from music to graphic design, because ultimately, graphic design is a universal job. Like, everyone needs a graphic designer in some similar way. But also, it helps with YouTube, with making thumbnails, but also making certain things for, you know, your YouTube banner or your end card or your intro or whatever it is. Ultimately, graphic design saved and changed my life. And I'm glad that it did. And I think I'm still struggling now of figuring out what I want to do, where I want to go, how I'm going to do things, and having a quote-unquote quarter-life crisis, because I am 25 and I already graduated university. And even though YouTube, Twitch, and social media is my job, I feel like it's a sense of uncertainty of where it's going to lead. And so even though I make Sims content on YouTube and I do vlogs, I feel like, again, a sense of uncertainty of what kind of content do I want to make and what type of stuff I want to do where it would make me happy, but also other people happy as well. Because sometimes it might not be for everyone. And that's okay. And personally, I just tend to go with the flow now. I go with like what I like the most. And that right now is just building houses in The Sims and building the things from other games within The Sims, or making backstories for my Sims, telling stories, adding face cam to it, making different types of Sim content that I find very cool and creative. Because I want to be a creative being in my life, and I'm a Pisces, and I strive to be creative. In all, that being said, I think that what I'm trying to say here is that even though that you fail, just get back up again and try again. Because sometimes when you say, oh, I quit, you never really know what's going to expect from that if you didn't try hard enough. And so personally, I say go for it. But moving on to the next topic of this episode is my life, where I was still failing in my life, where I was going back to the year of 2020, which was last year. It seems so long ago, thinking that 2020 was like 5,000 years ago. But no, it was last year. Back in May of 2020, I graduated university. I finished my bachelor's degree. It took 6 years because I went to community college 4 years and then transferred over to a 4-year university to do the last 2 years of my life and then graduate while in quarantine. And I was looking forward to the whole graduation, walking across the stage, getting my diploma, shaking hands, meeting my family and everything. It was just like, that's what I hoped and dreamed for. Because I've always had this like idea of my life where my brain goes in waves of thinking that I want to have all my family here with me and I want everyone to feel proud of me that I accomplished something, at least in my life. Because I still feel like that I'm ultimately failing people, because that's like a natural human thing of thinking that sometimes you may think that you're failing, but ultimately you're actually succeeding. And so I contacted all my brothers to come to my graduation, my mom and my dad, and, you know, taking photos and videos. But that ultimately didn't happen because Miss Rona was like, ha, 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 I'm here to stay or here to belong or to fit in, and ruined everything. I think it kind of took a damper on my mood of thinking, what's going to happen now? Where am I going to go? How am I going to do things in my everyday life? And so I think that when I was graduating university, I was sitting here at my computer. I look at my screen and my university did the virtual graduation of scrolling through all the names, had my cap on, did not have the gown on because that would have been hot. but I had my cap on, saw my name, took a screenshot, threw my hat, and then I fundraised for St. Jude for 12 hours straight on Twitch, and we ultimately raised over $4,000, which is like the best thing in the world. And I think that was the best celebration I've ever had in my entire life, where I got to celebrate something I was passionate about, where I'm raising funds for kids who deserve a second chance at life. And that, my friends, is St. Jude. I love St. Jude. I love giving back to my community as much as I can. And I think I took in that moment of my life that graduating was like a breath of fresh air. I don't know if I explained it in the first or second episode, but I had a chaotic, hectic life where I was dealing with, you know, not one, but two jobs at the exact same time with a 18 credit hour course load of university. And I was also having a quote unquote social life at the time. And I was being stretched thin where I couldn't do everything because I'm just one person. I can't just like tear myself apart into multiple different like Stevens or Springs to do all these different events and all these different like topics or classes to get everything done in a matter of time. And ultimately I was like, you know what? I just have to say no to certain things, because saying no is actually better to say no than actually failing. Because if you say yes and it doesn't turn out very good and you fail, sometimes it's okay to say no. It really is. I've tried it and it helped me so much. And graduating, I realized when searching for a job, because I was in that period of my life where it was like struggling and getting frustrated of trying to find a job after graduation while in quarantine, because we were all in lockdown and we didn't have access or resources to certain things. And I was like having the worst luck and the worst time finding a job. And finding a job is not that easy. I've had interviews here and there, but then I realized that I may not be for everyone. I may have the right credentials and the right qualifications and experience and everything for certain jobs. But maybe in that moment, it wasn't just for me. It could have gone to somebody else, which it did. And ultimately, I'm okay with that, because I've realized that in order to succeed in my life, I need to work for myself. And it was in that moment, in that time of, it actually happened around like in December-ish time, where I realized that I'm just going to work for myself. It's easier. It's better. I can work with my own schedule, work with my own hours, and do things that make me happy. And I'm happy that I've done it. I'm doing it. And it feels good. It actually feels good for once to know that I get to do things that I love to do and make people happy and make content that will sustain me for a while, but also make content that I can look back at on and show my grandkids or my kids or anyone that I made this content on the internet for so many years that I've evolved into a brand new person, same or different, I don't know, but we're all in a way the same. And it feels good to know that we all can definitely go forth in our endeavors, no matter what it is, and strive for the best. Even though that we fail, we can just get right back up again and try again. And so ultimately, that's all that I have today for this episode. But I did want to repeat the quote of the day. It's better to fail while striving for something wonderful, challenging, adventurous, and uncertain than to say, I don't want to try because I may not succeed completely. And that's by Jimmy Carter. And I think that's a very important quote to definitely to think about and realize that, will I quit while I'm ahead, or will I try again to see what it's going to be like? Because ultimately, you don't know what to expect until you try. But also, definitely, the good thing about being an advocate with this personality type I have here is that treat people as if they were what they ought to be, and you help them to become what they are capable of being. And so, honestly, those two quotes are definitely two things to definitely remember from this episode. And just let me know on social media what you all do to succeed. What is your definition of success? What are some of your failures that made you stronger to who you are today? Because ultimately, we all have failures that we have done in our lives, and there were lessons to be learned in those failures to make us stronger today. Because we are evolving. We are ever-growing, evolving humans, or aliens, or, you know, robots, whatever, that we are still striving to do the best that we can in any shape or form. And that's good. And that's good enough. And so remember, folks, it's okay to fail. It's okay to cry. It's okay to stop what you're doing, but then ultimately try again and help others as well. But either way, I'm going to go ahead and actually wrap up today's episode here right now. Hopefully you all enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, but make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram. All the show notes will be down below in the description, but make sure you follow and subscribe to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and I will hear from you all next week.